Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Blessed.
Amen. We are blessed. All right. Our message today in hot water. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this Sabbath. We thank you for your gift, your life, and the redemption that we have available to us and salvation through your death and through your life. At this time, Lord, as we delve into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be present with us to open our hearts to receive your truths and a desire to search deeper and to know truths. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I'll go ahead and warn you. Got new contact lens, and I don't know what my doctor was thinking. He has this idea about balancing or something. Long story short, why would you put on contacts and then have to put on glasses to be able to read through the contacts? But we'll get through this. That's all right. In hot water, what do you think we're talking about today? In trouble? What do you think, Robert? Not sure yet? Dwight? All right. I'm going to give it away. I'm going to just give it away right now. That's not a good thing because usually that gives people an out to just, oh, I know what this is about. Let me go home now. But I'll just tell you. The sermon idea today is on your perspective and your reaction in difficult and trying times. Hot water, difficult times, trying times. And we want to look at taking an approach that's different, an approach that says change the situation rather than let the situation change you. Amen. That's easy to say, brother. I know. That's easy to say. Don't let it beat you down. Be the bigger man. Tough situation, don't let it change you and weaken you. You change it. That's easy to say. If ever you've been in deep hot water, you know. That's easy to say. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 again. Thank you for reading, my brother. Hebrews chapter 4. But back up 1 to 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may have obtained mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Clearly I need those glasses. It's a good thing I remember most of this scripture. I think I added a few words in there. All right. So, thinking about the message today, the message ended up being what it's about to be, but I didn't think it's what I was going to preach on today. To me, it seemed kind of soft, right? You'll see where I'm coming from with that. Wasn't really thinking that's what I want. It was a nice story, and yeah, at some point it could be a sermon, but it wasn't what I was thinking. And then sometime along the way, whether it was early in the week or this morning, doesn't matter, I was thinking, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that's procrastinated. After all, God has a sense of humor. You don't believe me? Look at my brother Rick. Don't tell him I said that. Anyway, the Holy Spirit didn't procrastinate. It was me. But the thing is, I looked at different topics that I wanted to share with us today, and they were big. They required more research time than I allotted, obviously. But you know, this little story kept coming back. Still simple, still I don't know, but in the end, the story is the sermon, and all I can say is, it's got to be the Holy Spirit saying, I know you want to preach a bigger story, bigger topic, this is what you got to preach today. So we're going to take and run with it, and we'll see where he leads us. Because as you can see, There's quite a mix of papers in here. All right. What's your favorite dish? Huh? You can pull your mask down and tell me. Oiled, oh my goodness, oiled dung. Next you're gonna say oxtail and cow heel soup. Oh my goodness. What's your favorite dish? Rice and beans and baked chicken. Come on, Bill, what's your favorite dish? All of it, okay, we'll go with that. I know Kiki and Tree Tree and family are watching, and I'm just gonna tell you, I'm about to throw Sydney under the bus. I'm just gonna tell you right now. You know, a year or two ago, I don't remember, we had potluck. The twins were kind of relatively new, right? And Sydney, he's not a baptized member of the SDA church. He doesn't know the, quote, rules and regulations, quote. You got to give a guy a pass. Me and one of my brothers, remaining unnamed, but it starts with Bill and ends with Pike, we got in the line and we got a bowl of pasta. And I said, that has got to be the best fake meat I have ever seen. So we tried it. That was the best fake meat we ever had. Let me tell you, that fake beef sausage was so good, I said, let's get another bowl just to make sure, and was still good. And four bowls later, we said, we got to tell them they can't bring this to next potluck. Four bowls later, because you're not supposed to bring meat. It's supposed to be vegetarian. But Sid, if you're watching, let me tell you, that's the best sausage, beef sausage pasta we had. All four bowls, the fourth one was as good as the first. Had to stop myself. Actually, I think what I was doing was protecting the other members, the less available to them. You see what I'm saying? So our story today goes like this. Young woman comes to mama. You've all heard this story, I'm sure. Crying, boo-hooing. Life is terrible. Everything is a struggle. Everything is a fight. Can't work this out. Can't work that out. I'm just miserable. And the whole time, mama's just getting things together in the kitchen. Puts three pots on the fire. Puts water in there. Fires it up. Got it going. Calls the daughter in. Have a seat. Keep telling me everything. In one pot, she puts a handful of carrots. In one pot, she puts a handful of eggs. And in one pot, she put some ground coffee. That's old school. This is before automatic drip coffee makers. So, here we go. The whole story is laid out. My life is miserable. Work is terrible. My boyfriend is terrible. My dress doesn't fit right. All. And mama says, come on in the kitchen and sit down with me. And 20 minutes later, she turns off all the burners, and she gets three bowls. And she tells the daughter, scoop some of that out in here. And she does, some of that cooked up mushy carrots in there. And she has scooped one of those out in the other bowl. And the little girl's trying to tell you the misery of my life. I'm not hungry right now, but okay. Gets an egg, puts it in the other bowl. And she gives her a big ladle and says, get some of that coffee in this bowl. And she does, put some coffee in there. She said, take the spoon and tell me what you think of those carrots. And she, oh, it's all mushy and soft, but I guess it's good, right? Here's the thing. There are Christians in this world. There are Christians among us who start out as good, firm, strong carrots, and once that hot water gets them, they turn to mush. Turn to mush, you know? Case in point, and I got to be careful when I say this, because you're going to throw your rotten tomatoes, Moses. And you're thinking, what? Moses was no mushy carrot. That's Moses. That's the patriarch. Well, let me tell you something. When Moses started, he was a great general. When he killed that Egyptian guard who was beating the old man, Israelite, Moses had to run. He fled to the wilderness. Fast forward way up there now, father-in-law Jethro, and 40 years later, he learns to be a good shepherd, a peaceful man. Life is simple. Marries Zipporah. Everything is great. Moses is happy. And here comes God. Here comes God. Moses, I need you to go back to Egypt, where everybody used to know you as a great general. Go in there with your scraggly long beard and that piece of stick you call a staff, and face down the greatest power in the world. Look at Pharaoh and tell him, I said, let my people go. Yes. How would you react to that? How would you react to Carlos Craig, our conference president, saying, let me pick on somebody. Zaria, I need you to go to the White House. I need you to have a sit down with Congress and, you know, loop in Trump in that too, and tell them this whole thing about Sunday law and all that nonsense. No, no, not having it. Not, just say it like that, not having it. You know why? Because God says we're not having it. Can you see what I'm saying, how that would feel? So here's Moses living his peaceful life, forgotten from Egypt. God says go, and what does Moses do? I can't talk. I can't talk, right? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Because I got to be careful when I tell you Moses was a mushy carrot. I got to prove my case. Exodus chapter 3. To all of you people watching from Trinidad, happy Sabbath. I forgot. Heard y'all are watching too. Exodus 3:11 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? This is Moses saying this to God, right? Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God told him, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, this shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Well, that's bold, right? Moses should have just, okay. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In verse 10, Moses continues, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who had made the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses was uncomfortable with the situation. Moses didn't want to go back across the deserts to Pharaoh. Moses didn't want to face Pharaoh, who at one point was like his equal, and say, none of your gods, but that invisible God, whose name is I Am, said, I need you to let the entire Hebrew race of slaves go, your entire workforce that's free, let them go. That's what he said. Moses wasn't feeling it, you know? Moses was like a mushy carrot. He was fishtailing, or as we say, crawfishing. Oh, I can't talk. Oh, I can't. No, it's not right for me. Somebody else. How many people do we know from our own congregation got their feelings hurt and left church? How many people, you say something to them, and it wasn't the right thing to say, and they're all sideways now? And I got to ask you, if that's not a carrot Christian, I don't know what is. Because there is not an account in Scripture where one of God's people didn't face persecution, whether verbally, emotionally, psychologically, or physically, God's people face persecution. And if you can't handle a few words, not condoning the words, I'm just saying, if that's enough to run you off and you're no longer in church talking to Jesus, I got to tell you, there's a problem there, and it ain't my fault. If I said the words to you, I shouldn't have, but it ain't my fault that your faith is too weak to stand for Christ, that your skin is too thin to take a lashing. Because I got to tell you, when the time of persecution comes, and it will, you can't handle some words, but you're trying to tell me you're going to run to the mountains and you're going to give your life for Christ? Seriously? Let me ask you something. You guys remember the rich young ruler? That's a Christian there. Let me tell you. Model citizen. Kept the word, kept the commandments from his youth. Comes to Jesus. Master, what must I do to be saved? And what does Jesus say to him? Before that, he said, you know, keep the commandments. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Well, I've done all of that from my youth, Mr. Jesus. I've done all of that. I'm your man. I'm good. What else must I do to be saved, great master? And Jesus says, well, you have a lot. Sell what you have. Give it to the poor and the needy. And then come follow me. You want to be saved? You want to go to heaven? You want to live eternally? You want to go meet the patriarchs and the prophets? You want to eat from the tree of life? You want to be by the river of life? Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Was Jesus asking too much? That carrot-heart Christian hung his head low and walked away from eternal life. He was face to face with Jesus. He was not facing a great persecution at the time because he was well respected and liked in his community and had all the amenities of life. Simple test. Sell what you got. Sell that 2020 Ford F-250 on the 10-inch lift, you know. Use that money to help some people that are struggling, because we got millions that are laid off right now. No jobs, don't know how they're going to pay their bills. And come follow me. That kind of sounds easy. Yeah. This guy hung his head and walked away from the master, from Jesus, saying, I can't do that because I like my stuff. You know? I like my house. I like my cars. I like my jewelry. I like my money. I like my things. I love you too, Jesus, but I like this stuff too, and I'm not about to give it up. Just give it to people that didn't earn it and come follow you. One day he's going to be called forth. You know? How many Christians do we know? Nothing but a carrot. Boiled down, they're mush. No texture anymore. And now here's the thing. We like to say, yeah, tell them rich people, give all that stuff away and come to church and follow Jesus. It was the parable of the rich young ruler. Am I right? So substitute time and effort in place of money. Substitute. And when you get called to the carpet, we got a ministry. We need your time. We need your effort. We need you involved. Where are you? I'm looking at the camera, all of you guys at home. Where are you when you're called to the carpet? It's time to serve Jesus. and you're not there. Let somebody else do it. When Johnny goes out to the underpass and to the bus stop on a Sabbath afternoon instead of going home for a nap, and he's got five people with him, and four of them are his own kids. Where are you? Where am I? Substitute your time and your energy in place of money in the rich young ruler's parable, and you tell me what kind of Christian you are. Now, I'm saying that in a very generic sense to everybody, because we are all, myself included, strapped for time, very busy, got a lot happening, you know? And I get that. I'm not downplaying it, saying your time is just available. But I'm saying, why are you here today? You're here today because you heard the story of Jesus Christ. You're here today because you know he died for your sins and you didn't deserve it. You're here today because you know God called him out of that tomb and he went to heaven. You're here today because you believe he's coming back one day. What's more important than that? NCIS series 13? What's more important than that? Going outside and taking 3.5 hours to wash your car and shine it down? What's more important than knowing Jesus is coming back and he asks you to do something very simple? Go tell everybody I love them and I'm coming back. That's all he says. He didn't say go build a big church 3 stories high. He didn't ask you to do things that are close to impossible. He said go tell people when they're sad and brokenhearted and beat down, I love them. I died for them. I'm coming back for them. That's where our time and our priority is supposed to be. Okay? Mushy carrots. Do you know 12 men walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, watched him turn water into wine, watched him cure leprosy, watched him call the dead to life. And when he was arrested, all 12 of them hightailed it out of there. Where was their spine? Now, you guys know, fast forward, they did great things serving the Lord. But in that moment where their Christianity was, they were weak, mushy carrots. Peter, who later said, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to die like my Lord, he was cussing and swearing, I don't know this Jesus dude, leave me alone. Remember that? And then the rooster crowed 3 times. I say that to tell you, as I talk about the carrot, the mushy Christian right now, I'm not trying to beat you down. I'm making sure you understand. Everybody is on a walk with God. Where I am in my walk is not the same place where you are in your walk. Some are way ahead of me, closer to the Lord. Some are behind me, working their way towards the Lord. And it's not our place to judge and say, hey, why are the people not up in here working and doing the thing? When God calls them, many will answer. If it's not yet time, hey, that's not my problem. My problem is, why am I not here? That's my problem. That's my concern. Why am I not serving? As opposed to, why are 80% of the congregation not in service here? Don't worry about that. That's between them and Jesus. All you got to worry about is your eyes on the cross. And sad to say, that's one of the main reasons so many people, when they get their feelings hurt, they leave. Their eyes are on each other and on people instead of on the cross. All right, so let's go back to the kitchen. Mama says, get one of those eggs right there and crack that shell. You guys ever shell boil eggs? I'll tell you what, those edges get under your fingernails and hurt. That's me, I don't know. You crack it up, and but inside it's a hard-boiled egg. But when it went into that pot, it was soft inside. I'll tell you something. When you get baptized, you are a soft egg. Your heart is soft. You have love for God. You want to serve. Everything is right before you. Jesus, you are Lord. You are King. You are everything. There you are. And then you get dropped in that pot. That boiling water gets to you. Life gets to you. And what happens? You got a choice to make. And you allow your heart to become hardened. You allow your heart to become hardened. Do not say, they made my heart hard. You allowed your heart to be hardened. There is no trial me and you face in this world that can compare to the trials Jesus endured. Not a one of us can say, I went through what Jesus went through. Jesus can say he went through everything we went through, but we can't say that I stood out there, the heat index was 111 degrees, it was hot all 40 days that I was out there. And the whole time I didn't eat anything, you know, and I was really, really hungry because I hadn't eaten in 40 days. Look at me, skin and bones, you can tell I've eaten in the last 40 days. Not a one of us can say that. And say, and then the devil tempted me, and I stood strong and was obedient to the Father. So you cannot tell me life is that hard on you. Jesus was there. Like they say, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Can you imagine Jesus wearing a t-shirt in heaven when you see him? I beat Satan. Another t-shirt. 3 for 3. Come on. I could patent that. I can make me some t-shirts. Listen, Samuel anointed King Saul. God chose Saul as the first king of Israel. You know how important that was? You know how solemn that was? You know how amazing that was for the people? And Saul was doing great. But on the walk, pride got a grip on him. I am the great Saul. I have conquered all these heathen nations, as opposed to the Lord has conquered all of these heathen nations and I was his instrument of justice. No, I have conquered. And then enter the scene, David, young David. And the great King Saul now is dealing with a bout of jealousy. And it goes on and it goes on. His heart was hardened over time because he lost sight of his purpose. He lost sight of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. That's the point that this hard-hearted Christian came to. He let the world change him. He let the world beat him. He let the world design his course instead of holding on to the hem of Jesus Christ and saying, this is the sail I'm on. And truthfully, I can't stand here and beat up poor Saul because I've been there a time or two myself, okay? I've chosen my way instead of God's way. No pun intended, Frank Sinatra. But I've done it my way a number of times, and I can tell you I've fallen hard. I've taken the bruises. Boy, it sounds like I'm reciting a song. I don't mean to. So I can't stand here and say, Saul, Saul, what an evil guy, when I know my life is rife with sin and failure, right? So let's be honest. As Christians, we go through phases too where our hearts are hardened. Just like that hard-boiled egg. Saul was ate up with arrogance, with disobedience, with a hardened heart. And that's what led to his demise. Look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way where? Everlasting. Search my heart, God. Search my thoughts, and lead me in your way. That's the prayer I need to pray. The same prayer King David prayed. It's timeless. It's the same prayer me and you need to pray every day. Because I'll tell you what, every day I fail. Every day I sin. Every day I fall. I cannot think of a day in my life where I had a perfect day. I cannot think of one. Every day I fall. But every day God blesses me with the privilege to say, search my heart, Lord. Search my thoughts, Lord. And if there be any wicked way in me, take it away and lead me in your way everlasting. Is that the prayer that we pray every day? I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking out. If you've been hard on somebody, if you've judged harshly, if you have not shown mercy, if you have not shown compassion to somebody else who did not have someone to lean on, who did not have some backup, who was out there on their own, and this is the way you handle it, merciless and a harsh judgment, and you followed a path that served your purpose, that served your needs, then you chose to become that hard-boiled egg. Jesus gave us a charge in the book of Matthew, didn't he? And when you chose not to show mercy, not to show compassion, not to be patient and forbearing, and you judged hard or you acted harshly and someone is hurt because of it, how do you say, I am a mirror image of Jesus? How do you say, I walk in the shadow of the Lord? Tell me that. You're nothing more than a hard-boiled egg. Fact is, you and me, for acting in that manner, for harboring that character, are in greater need of this prayer than the person we were against. Now let's go back to the kitchen. We're back in the kitchen. So Mama tells the little girl, all right, forget about the mushy carrot, forget about the hard-boiled egg. Get that bowl with the coffee. Take a sip. I know, Seventh-day Adventist, leave the caffeine alone. I get it. It's just a story, folks. And she picks up the bowl and, smells good. Take a sip. Ooh, that tastes good. I like this, Mom. And all of a sudden, I'm forgetting about all the stress and heartache and tears that I was just expressing to you. I feel good right now for a minute. I'm not condoning coffee. I do not have an arrangement with Folgers or anybody else. Just saying. Go with me for the story. Here's what's interesting. She took some carrots out of that water. She took some eggs out of that water. She took some coffee. Wait a second. No. That water became the coffee. That water became Bruce Lee. Didn't it? What did he say? You put water in a cup, the cup becomes the water. You put water in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. You put water in a bottle, it becomes the bottle. Water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend. That coffee became Bruce Lee. You see, the more the coffee boiled in that water, the stronger its aroma, the stronger and more robust the coffee itself became. The coffee absorbed the water and became the water. You're not scooping something out of the water. It is all of it. That's the kind of Christian we are to be. You face troubles. Don't let the situation dictate the outcome. Let Jesus dictate the outcome. You're in hot water. Don't have fear. Let me tell you something. There's a young man named Stephen. Loved the Lord. Loved Jesus. Would not deny Christ. And they started to stone him. And he stood there and he looked up and he asked for their forgiveness while the stones were hitting him and ultimately killed him. You think your hot water is that hot? Let me tell you something. John the Baptist would not denounce the Son of God and let them take his head and put it on a platter. Never failed. And we talk about Moses, that mushy carrot, remember? Let me tell you something about Moses. Moses gathered up himself, went to Egypt, faced down the greatest and most powerful man in the world at the time, Pharaoh, and said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, are you crazy? And what does he do? 10 plagues unleashed on them in the name of the Lord. God cleaned house. When God says this is the way it is, this is the way it is. When God sends you, you need to go. When God says it's time to work, it's time to work. When God said it's time to step up, it is time to step up. It's time to stop playing Christian. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to understand the reason we're here is not for a nice building and air conditioning and dress up nice and come in here with a jacket and a tie. It's because we want to know who Jesus is. What does he want from us? How do we get to be with him? That's why we're here. And if you're not here for that reason, you're wasting your time. You're giving up 1/7 of your life for the wrong reason, right? So why are you here? Moses led, they say, about 2 million people across the deserts, called on God, and God opened the seas, and they walked across on dry land. Moses went up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, for, what was it, 40 days, I think? He come down, he looked old, white hair, shiny face, you can't even look at him. 2 tablets of stone written with the very finger of God. And Moses was so close to God, without fear, he crashed those tablets that God gave him for the people. He had to go back up and get another set. 2nd edition. He wasn't perfect. He struck that rock. Water did come out, but that was in disobedience to God. We talked about that in a sermon in the past. But he made that trek up Mount Nebo. And God allowed him to see the promised land. God allowed him to take a hold of the promise. And when he closed his eyes, he was certain he would see God again one day. He became a coffee bean Christian. He didn't remain a mushy carrot Christian. And Jude 1:9 tells us about that argument where the archangel Michael faced down the devil arguing over the body of Moses, and he says to Satan, in the name of the Lord, I rebuke you. When we stand for God, God stands for us. Even in his death, God was looking over. That's an amazing, amazing account in Scripture. Now back to the kitchen. We're about to wrap up here. I know. We're about to wrap up here. So, we got all these 3 things. The carrots, the eggs, the coffee beans ground up. Talk about how aromatic it is and how it changed its environment. It absorbed the water, right? All 3 were subjected to the same stimulus. Hot water. Right? That boiling water is the trials that me and you are going to face in this life. That hot water is what we've endured for years. It represents the pain that we will endure going forward. It represents the unfair situations we face at work. It represents the rebelliousness, the rebellious nature of our own children. That hot water represents the sadness of losing people that we love, of the fear of growing older and dying when we get older and we realize that's ahead of us. That hot water, that boiling water represents these things. The fright of what lies ahead in persecution and suffering. And on and on and on. That's the hot water we face. Life will cook you. Ever heard that before? Somebody probably said that before, but I'm going to tell you. Life will cook you. But in the strength of the Lord, you have deciding power. You have choice to determine what dish you will be. Burnt toast or Kung Pao chicken? We'll talk later. You get to decide. The devil doesn't get to decide. God created us with free will, with choice. We're going to face trials. We're going to face tribulations. We're going to face pain. We're going to experience loss. We're going to experience sadness. We're going to have people hate us. We're going to have people take things from us. We're going to have people take advantage of us. That's coming. You can't get around it. But you, in the strength of Jesus Christ, determines, am I going to cave in like that mushy carrot? Am I going to fight back and just be hard-hearted like that boiled egg? Or am I going to be like that coffee bean and let the situation become God's situation? And when this is done, like they say, heaping coals on their head, let them do what they will to you, still give them a good aroma. Let them beat you as bad as they want, still taste good to them. Let the Lord deal with their sins, not you. I'm going to skip the Rocky Balboa thing. We're going to skip it. Moving down. Jesus experienced the cross, but that's not all. Jesus endured the cross, but that's not all. Jesus conquered the cross without sin, without giving up. Now, he cried, Father, let this cup pass from me. But he followed that up with, not my will, but thine. Sometimes we cry, Lord, take it from me, and the cry is done. We cry, Lord, take it from me. It's heavy. Nonetheless, Lord, if you think this is what I need right now, I can't see it, I can't understand it, I don't get it, but I trust you. Your will be done. Jesus endured the cross, but he didn't do it for himself. You know, we do things for ourselves. We do things for our children. We do things for our church. Jesus did this for you and didn't even know you. You didn't know him, and he already did this for you. Gave his life for you. What does he ask in return? Sometimes I wonder, because I'm going to tell you. I got a job, praise the Lord. I pay some taxes. Ooh, mercy. Because they're going to tax your income. Then what's left, they're going to tax that every time you go buy something. And when you buy something, you look to sell it again, it gets taxed again. Look, I've bought the same car 3 times. Can you believe that? I'll tell you that story another time. I bought the same car 3 times. Every time you go to change your title, you got to pay. They tax it again. Jesus gave all for you. You get to decide if you can, if you will be the coffee bean Christian. He gave us some assurances. Let me tell you something. Psalm 46, 1-3 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar. I should have brought the glasses. And foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. As our chorister gets ready to come up for the closing hymn, I'm going to share a couple here with you. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I, God, will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Psalm 32:7-8, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. How many times we cry for rest? My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Deuteronomy 32:27, the eternal God is your refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all of their troubles. Isaiah 43:1-3, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. God says, I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. John tells us in 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and you know how the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Joshua tells us in 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. David tells us in Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord where? Always before me, because he is my right hand, and I will not be shaken. And then he tells us in 62:1-2, my soul finds rest in God alone. Can't find rest anywhere in this world. In God alone, my salvation comes from him. He alone, God alone, is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. In 1:12, he says, praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear, who obey the Lord. They are not afraid of evil tidings, and evil tidings will come to you, but they are not afraid of it. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. And then when we're beat down, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The more vulnerable you are, the more invulnerable is our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians tells us, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Sometimes we're there. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do everything through him, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. And Isaiah says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. 2 Thessalonians in closing, 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Life is not going to be easy. If that's what you thought you were getting, so sorry, you were mistaken. We are told to be in this world but not of this world. We are told that we have to stay here for a time. We are told that Lucifer, for now, is a prince of this world. He has some dominion still. But we know that a time is coming real soon. A time is coming when those clouds will burst open, when the Son of God will show himself, when the Son of God will descend with the trump of the archangel, with 10,000 times 10,000 angels at his side. And he's going to call forth his people. Folks who have laughed at Jesus, folks who have laughed at all of us, the quote-unquote Jesus freaks, they won't be laughing. The Son of Man says, you are mine. I know your name. I will take care of you. And I believe he's going to come back. I'm willing. I don't know if I'm able, but I'm willing to stand for Christ, to fall for Christ, to die for Christ, because I see how this life is fleeting. I see how quickly a decade goes by, and I know I face mortality. So I want Jesus. I want to be with him forever. I want to experience a perfect health, a perfect being, a perfect existence with no stress, with no trials, with no troubles, nothing but joy every day. And then you wake up tomorrow and you do it again and it feels brand new. I want that. And I'm asking Jesus for it. So I tell him, use me wherever he can, whenever he needs me. And I pray the same for you. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the message that you have given to us of assurance, of hope, of strength. And as we go through the different paths in our journey to you, sometimes we're going to be weak Christians. Sometimes we're going to be hard Christians. But sometimes we're going to be right in the mix. Sometimes, Lord, we're going to do it right in your strength. In your name. And we're going to have an impact on somebody. It can be just one, but we're going to have an impact on somebody, and we'll put a smile on your face. And that's all we want. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.